The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In Revelation 3, when Jesus is saying that he would spew or vomit someone out of his mouth, what does this refer to? Is this about a possible loss of eternal salvation? How should this statement be applied? Thank you, friend, for joining us today on Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We live in North Texas, and we would love for you to know us better by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you can acquire a free subscription to our bi-monthly magazine called Grace in Focus, and you only have to pay postage if you live outside of the 48 contiguous United States. It's a beautiful full-color magazine with great articles, and you will love receiving it. We love making it available to you at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. Today we have a question from Doss on YouTube. GES, please do an explanation about the meaning of, quote, I will spew thee out of my mouth, end quote, Revelation 3, verse 16.
And all right. Could you read 14 through 16? This
yes.
is the seventh of seven letters in Revelation 2 and 3.
And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth.
All right. Doss is quoting from the King James, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Right. And I guess in the New King James is, I will vomit you out of my mouth.
Yeah. And the thee in the King James is kind of nice because you know it means singular. In the King James, whenever it's plural, it says you. So it distinguishes singular and plural. Whereas in the New King James, it's always you. So you don't know. But the Greek actually has singular here. However, if you notice in verse 14, to the angel of the church, that's also singular. He's not writing to churches. He is writing to churches in the seven letters, but it's seven individual churches. And this is the specific church in the city of Laodicea. And so, spew thee out of my mouth, or vomit you out of my mouth in the New King James. The you, even though it's singular, is referring to the church. And the issue here is not an individual losing everlasting life. That can't happen, because once you have everlasting life, you've got it forever. Jesus says that the believer will never hunger, never thirst, never die, never be cast out, will never perish. And all of these things are guaranteed. But churches can lose their ministry. A church can cease to exist. And so when he says, I will vomit you out of my mouth, he's talking about a church whose candlestick, to use the language in Revelation 2 and 3, could be taken away. Their ministry could end. A local church could stop functioning.
So I guess in this passage, they're getting vomited or spewed out because they were lukewarm. What does it mean for a church to be lukewarm?
Okay, that's a good question. And by the way, I have an article on this. If you go to faithalone.org and I talk about this church, the Church of the Laodiceans, the Lord goes on to say, you're poor, blind, and naked. But they don't think they're poor, blind, and naked. They think they're rich. They think they see well. And they think they're well clothed. And actually, in Laodicea, they had this wonderful wool that they were known for, and they would wear this wool. And the Laodiceans were a rich city, and these were rich people physically. And they had an eye salve, which was used to help them see well. And so they thought they were rich, they saw well, and they were well clothed. But what he's saying is, spiritually speaking, this particular church was poor, blind, and naked. He goes on to say in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. We don't buy everlasting life, but in a sense, we do buy spiritual health. And the way we do it is in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. The way we buy this is by being zealous for good works and repenting, in this case, of our complacency. Repenting of thinking, I've got it all together. This particular church, notice how in verse 16, it starts with, I know your works. That's found in all seven of the seven letters. The issue is not their beliefs. The issue is their works were found wanting by the Lord. And in a number of these seven letters, the people are being rebuked and they're being called upon to repent. It's interesting that the word for repent, the verb metanoeo, isn't found once in the Gospel of John, and it also doesn't appear in 1 John. John is evangelistic, and turning from one's sins is not a requirement of being born again.
And John is the writer of John, 1 John and the book of Revelation.
Right. In 1 John, the issue is fellowship. 1 John 1, 3, and 4, he's wanting his readers to maintain fellowship with God. And he never mentions repentance there because the condition for the person who's in fellowship to maintain fellowship is not repentance. It's walking in the light, 1 John 1:7, and confessing our sins, 1 John 1:9. Repentance is for the believer who's out of fellowship. For example, Luke 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. They need to repent to get back in fellowship with God. But here you have the issue of believers, a local church, whose works are displeasing to the Lord. And so they need to be zealous for good works and they need to repent of their complacency.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
So the issue here is not losing eternal life, which is impossible. The issue is a church that would lose its ministry.
So these admonitions to churches, they apply to a group of local believers, but then again, you have individual applications. So how do you distinguish what applies to the church at large versus an individual believer?
It's clear if you read the seven letters that in these churches, even the ones that are not doing well, there are some within who are overcomers. That's the term used in Revelation 2 and 3 of the victorious Christians. They're Nikao Christians. The noun is Nike. We get the clothing and the sports company Nike. That's named after the Greek goddess of victory, which was called Nike. So believers are to be overcomers. And even in the churches that had a lot of believers who were failing, there were some overcomers. What we're called upon is to be overcoming believers. In fact, notice in verse 21, which is both the end of the seventh letter and the summary of all seven, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So to be an overcomer is to be a victorious Christian. That's what we're all called to be, and the believers in Laodicea were called. But in terms of the individual application, if we're complacent and we're really not the well-dressed Christian, our deeds are not pleasing to God, and we're not seeing well spiritually speaking, and we're not rich as a believer, but we're actually poor. We're a person who's not been laying up treasure in heaven, Matthew 6, 19 to 21. We should repent so that if the Lord returns, let's say in the next few days or weeks, we are going to be found as a person who will hear, well done, good servant. I think of the parable in Matthew 24, 45 to 51. It's called the parable of the just and the unjust servant. And it's not two separate servants. It's one servant who's doing well. He's feeding his fellow servants. He's leading them well. We're thinking of someone like an elder in a local church or a pastor in a local church. He's doing well. And then he says, my Lord delays his coming. And he stops feeding his fellow servants, but he starts beating his fellow servants. And he starts drinking with the drunkards. And then the Lord comes at an hour when he's not looking for him. He's going to receive a verbal tongue lashing from the Lord, and he's not going to rule and reign. He was in a position to rule and reign in the life to come. So the individual application would be, if you're a complacent believer, you know you have eternal life, but you're not actively serving Christ. You're not actively involved in your local church. You may not even go to your local church. Or if you do, you're just passive and you're not really paying attention in the preaching. You're just kind of going through the motions. Well, if you're that type of person, then you need to repent of your complacency. You need to realize that Christ can return at any moment and watch for his soon return and live in light of his soon return. Let your deeds reflect your love for Christ and your love for the brethren.
So the lukewarm Christian here is the one who's complacent and not really looking forward to Jesus' return. So,
right.
But how about the consequence of being vomited? What is the vomiting out?
Okay, well, for a corporate group like a church, yeah, their church could stop. But for the individual, the issue would be, I could be consigned by the Lord to the far country, meaning I'm going to be under his discipline. So that when the prodigal son's in the far country, no one gives him anything. He's in want. There's a famine in the land. So that if the Lord vomits an individual out of his mouth, it would mean I'm going to experience his judgment in this life. There is no such thing as eternal condemnation for the believer, but there is temporal judgment. That is judgment right now in this life.
And that's what being vomited out by the Lord Jesus Christ refers to.
And it would have application at the judgment seat of Christ, because the person wouldn't be chosen to rule and reign with Christ, Revelation 3:21. A future application as well. And the same thing with Matthew 24:45-51. If I take my eyes off Christ, then instead of being chosen to rule and reign, I'm going to be rebuked by Christ at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah, denied the opportunity to rule and reign with him, and Jesus may not confess his name before others in the future.
Yeah, Matthew 10:32-33. But Doss, you can't lose your salvation. It's absolutely secure because that's what Jesus promises.
Right, but he wants us to rule and reign with him.
He does.
Live in light of that.
Yeah, because we need to keep grace
in focus.
In focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We hope you have a great weekend, and we hope that you join us again on Monday for another episode. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.